Welcome to Sunday Morning at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
It being Palm Sunday, I thought it'd be appropriate we talk about the death of Christ and talk about the cross. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in the Spirit. This is one of the most important principles for a Christian to understand, to know what was accomplished on the cross. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Now, we have to understand something else. I just want to kind of make sure you get this. The cross is very important because that's where the sacrifice was given. But the cross by itself is not sufficient. Next Sunday, we celebrate because Jesus Christ came back from the dead. That's where the power lies. The power of the cross is there, but the power of the resurrection is also there. Because if just ended with the cross, he would have been no different than the two thieves on either side of him. But because of Easter, the resurrection, we have hope and we have joy today. So today we're going to look at the cross and what it has accomplished for us. And it's very important for you to understand this and for you to get it because it's at the basis of what we believe and as who we are. So let's begin with, it was a sacrificial death. A sacrificial death. Jesus Christ died in our place. Sacrificial. And we're going to take this verse that we've just read and kind of break it down a little bit. In verse 18 in 1 Peter 3, he said, Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He sacrificed for us. Now that word sacrifice is a great word. My best recollection of it and the way I relate to it is through baseball. I know some of you don't go there, but I do, all right? And I'm a baseball fan, St. Louis Cardinals. Have been since I've been a little bitty kid. Okay, great. Couple Missouri people there, I tell you that right now, right? And so in baseball, there is a terminology called a sacrifice. So if you are a hitter and you have a runner on third base, there's four bases, by the way, for those of you who are just uneducated and exempt from this world. I don't understand how you could. At third base, and you hit a fly ball to the outfield, and that outfielder catches it, but the runner on third tags and scored. It's called a sacrifice. You have sacrificed your turn of back so that someone else could score, and when they keep track of your average in hitting, a sacrifice does not count against you as a time at bat. Or you have a runner on first, the runner needs to get to second because on second he can score on a single, and so you bunt the ball, you lay it down, they throw you out at first, the runner gets to second, it's a sacrifice. Whether you recognize it or not, much of life is determined by how much you're willing to sacrifice, by how much you're willing to lay down your life for somebody else. If you're a parent, you sacrifice for your children. You're willing to do something for somebody else at your expense. You're willing to let somebody else have the benefit and not you. Now the struggle is, and in our world today, we're struggling with this whole thing, aren't we? Because it's all me. But yet in Christianity and in life as well, you're only going to be as strong as what you're willing to sacrifice your life for. Jesus Christ sacrificed his life for us. He laid it down so that we could live. What we understand about this is his death was costly. Don't think for a moment that it was simple and that there was no cost to it, because there's always a cost in sacrificing, isn't there? And it says here, he suffered. He suffered. The agony that Jesus Christ went through is hard for us to comprehend. And yet the writer in Luke says in Luke chapter 24, yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. Jesus Christ suffered physically. He went through physical pain. He had physical pain that is beyond description. His back was beaten. His hands were pierced. He suffered in a death. The dying on a cross is the most horrible death there is. You die because of asphyxiation. He suffered mentally. He carried the weight of the world. He suffered emotionally. He suffered spiritually. He understood the conflict and the battle that was going on. And because of all that he went through, he suffered. And when it comes to suffering, no human has ever suffered more than Jesus Christ has. You and I will never suffer more than what Jesus Christ suffered when he went to the cross. What he went through and what he had to deal with was beyond description and beyond understanding. He suffered. He paid a huge price when he died. 1 Corinthians 7:23. God paid a high price for you, so don't be enslaved by the world. So his death, sacrificially given for us, it cost him something. Sacrifice has a price to it. And he was willing to lay down his life for you and me. He was willing to pay that price. You see, there are people today who don't sacrifice their lives because they're not willing to pay the price, are they? A lot of people today don't have children because I don't want to pay the price. I don't have to deny myself so that someone else can have something that I can give to them. And so you and I understand this term. We understand the price of it. It's a huge price. And he was willing to die for us. And it was a death that was very costly. But also, in this understanding of sacrifice, his death was compassionate. Compassionate. In other words, this wasn't something that somebody had to force him to do. This wasn't something that, you know, oh, well, I guess if I got it. It was something he wanted to do. It says there that he suffered for our sins. He willingly and lovingly died for us. Now think about this. He, in his life and in his ministry, especially at the end, made his way to the cross. He purposely went that way. He knew what was in store. He knew where he was going. He knew what was heading on. And you know what? Everybody around him, nobody had to push him that way. Nobody had to try and, hey, come on, you got to finish this out. You got to do this. In fact, all the people around him tried to tell him not to do it. The disciples, you don't need to do this. Everyone was against what he was willing to do. But because of his love for us, because of him understanding what we needed, because of his compassion for us, he died for me. That's just incredible. Ephesians 1:7. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. God loves you and I so much that he was willing to sacrifice his Son for us. You know, I don't think too many people would sacrifice too much for me. Oh, I'm sure some do, but not to this degree. You see, God loves you so much that he didn't want you to be separated from him, because sin separates us from God. What is the most damaging thing about sin? The most damaging thing about sin is it creates a distance and a barrier between us and God. That's what it does. Yeah, it destroys life. And yes, it hurts people. But the damaging part of that is the separation that separates us from God. And God will do everything possible to bridge that gap so that you and I are not distant from him and not away from him, because he cares about us. And he says, I don't want there to be a distance. I don't want there to be a gap. I love you. I care for you. I want you to be close to me. And he does everything that he can to bring us to himself. 1 John 4:9. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. He died in our place. Sin had to be dealt with. So God dealt with it. Why? Why in the world would he sacrifice his son? Why in the world would he do that? Because it was the only way that you and I could be brought close to him. Sin had to be paid for. Sin had to be defeated. And Jesus Christ defeated sin so that you and I could be close to God. Why did the cross happen? The cross happened simply for the purpose that you and I can draw close to God and be his child, just as we've sung about today. But not only that, his death was complete. Complete. He died because he cared. He suffered. He did that because he loved us. He died for our sins. And he did this once for all time. Once for all time. In other words, it was so powerful that once was enough. Now, remember this, and I'm going to read you a scripture about it in just a moment, but let me just kind of say it again, and then we'll read it so we hear it twice. You see, before this, the sacrifice had to be an innocent dying for a guilty. An animal's blood was shed for the guilty sins of people. But that animal had to be sacrificed day after day after day after day. Why? Because, now this is a little secret for you, just so you know. You and I sin day after day after day after day, don't we? And so, you know, well, every time you sin, another animal had to be slain. Boy, if that was still going on today, I think we'd be out of animals by now. But Jesus Christ died, and he says, this one sacrifice, me giving my life, is sufficient for all of mankind for the rest of eternity. Wow. Thus the writer to the Hebrews says, Christ did not enter into a holy place made with human hands, which was only a copy of the one in heaven. He entered into heaven itself to appear now before God on our behalf. And he did not enter heaven to offer himself again and again. Like the high priest here on earth who enters the most holy place year after year with the blood of an animal. If that had been necessary, Christ would have had to die again and again ever since the world began. But now, once for all time, he has appeared at the end of the age to remove sin by his own death as a sacrifice. Jesus Christ died for our sins. It was a sacrifice, sacrificial death. He suffered for our sins once for all time. That's just incredible, isn't it? When you stop and think about what he did and what he accomplished and how he did that, that was just something that you and I just really have a hard time sometimes understanding and addressing. But it's the greatness of God and the love of God demonstrated because he was willing to sacrifice for us. But let's take it a step farther. It was a substitutionary death. I probably should only say that once because after that I'll probably mispronounce it the second time. He died in our place. He died instead of me. Here's what the writer, Peter, said that we read. He never sinned, but he died for sinners. Now, let me make sure you understand it. And I've said it before, but let me just, why do you die? You don't die because of cancer. You don't die because of heart disease. You don't die because, well, there's an accident. Why do you die? You die because of sin. When you and I understand that when Adam and Eve sinned, death entered this world. When God created Adam and Eve, he created them as eternal beings to live forever. But when they sinned, that eternity of being ceased to exist here on earth. And so they died because they sinned. And so when sin entered the world, death entered this world as well. And so you die because of sin. Now, here's the question. If death is the cause of sin, and yet Jesus did not sin, but he died, then there can only be one cause of his death. He died because of my sin. He didn't die because of his sin. He never sinned. But he died because I sinned. He took my place. The essence of sin is when you and I substitute ourselves for God. When we think we're in control, when we think we have rights, when we think we can do what we want, when our ego and our pride tells us we don't have to sacrifice, we can do whatever we please, however we please, whenever we please, and that's just the way we are, and we begin to be the God of our life because we determine what's right and wrong, we determine what we can and can't do, and we're the ones who control everything. And when you do that, you're sinning because you're taking God's place. But see, the essence of salvation is God taking our place. He put himself in my place and he died for me. I deserve to die. Well, Pastor, you're going to. You're right, I am. But because of the cross and because of my willingness to accept the work of Christ on the cross and because of me inviting him to forgive me and take my place, I now get to live forever. I now get to be with God forever. Why did he die? So that God says, I want you to die because I love these people. I want them to be close to me. There needs to be a sacrifice that's going to be paid for my sin, for the sins of the world. That sin creates distance. I don't want there to be a distance. Jesus Christ dies. Now we can boldly come into God's presence. Now we can be apart with God. Now we know him, and now we can live for him, and now we can live with him forever. And so God sacrifices himself for us in our place. God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. This verse, every time I read it, just eats my lunch. Because here's what I know it's saying. Jesus Christ died for me when I didn't care. Well, I'll sacrifice for somebody as long as they understand what I've given up for them. You know, I'll lay down my life for somebody as long as they, here it is, they appreciate what I'm doing. Jesus died, says, whether you appreciate it or not, whether you want it or not, whether you care or not, I will die for you. Whether you ever accept it or not, I still love you. Whether you receive what I purchase for you or not, I will still do it. So he died for us while we were still sinners. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Do you know today how much God loves you? Let me answer that for you. You probably don't. Because I think sometimes we forget the extent to which he went through so that you and I could be his children. Well, we can sing the songs. We can say they're nice. But to understand what he accomplished for us. Why did Jesus Christ go to the cross? Because God loves us. Because God wants us close. Because God does everything within his power to make it possible for you to have a right relationship with him. Now, he'll never force you. You still have a free will. You can still make those choices however you want. But God says, look, if you are not close to me, it's not going to be my fault, is what he says. It'll be all on you. Because I'm going to do everything possible to make it possible for you to come close to me. And so Christ never sinned, but he died for you and me. That's incredible. Then, it was a sufficient death. Sufficient death. In other words, it accomplished what God wanted it to accomplish. It paid the price. It did everything necessary for it to happen. It says here in verse 18, to bring you safely home to God. There it is. Why did he die? Why did he die for our sins? Why did he lay down his life? So that you could come safely home to God. Think of the prodigal son, away in his sins, lost, doing his own thing, but running out of resources, ending up in a place where he never wanted to be, disgusted with life, disgusted with himself, hurt by people, rejected by people, all alone, in a place he did not want to be. And yet when he came to his senses, the Bible tells us, he said, I can go back home to the Father. It's great news of the gospel. And no matter what you have done, God's death is sufficient to forgive you of your sins. Well, God could never forgive me. You don't understand what I've done. You don't understand how often I've done it. You don't know how many times I do this. You don't know the depths of which I go to. You don't understand how bad I am. No, I probably don't. But you know what? Here's what I do know. I don't care how bad you think you are or how bad you really are. God's gift, his son dying on a cross, is sufficient to forgive you of all of your sins. Time and time again. He loves you. He cares for you. He died for the express purpose of bringing us into a right relationship with God. Sin is the barrier that keeps that relationship from happening. But when Jesus Christ died, he says, okay, I'm going to break down that barrier. I'm going to pay the price. Now you have no excuse for not coming close to God. And so you and I, we've sinned. We deserve to die. But Jesus Christ died in our place. We sinned, so we deserve to be separated from God. We didn't do what God asked. We didn't care about God. We didn't do what he wanted. So we did our own thing, went our own way, thought we were better, thought we knew what's best, loved our way more than God's way, allowed our habits and our issues to get in the way, and we just went our way. But yet God says, look, I will do everything I can so that you can come close to me. Because life goes on after this life. And I want you, God says, to live in heaven with me. Now, that for me is just a great thought. That God of the universe, the creator, the almighty, the all-powerful, went to such extent simply for one reason, so that I could live with him forever. Man, that's love. Romans 5:1, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of, what's the word? Undeserved privilege, where we now stand and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. What is the cross? What should the cross breed in you? Confidence and joy. Christ paid the debt. It's all been settled. What he did was sufficient to pay the price for my sins once for all time. And therefore, when I look at that cross, I see a place of acceptance and of love demonstrated for me time and time again. And I look forward to being with God because the cross provides the payment for my sins so that I can have this relationship with God. His love for us is his reason for Jesus dying for us so that you and I could live with him forever. I don't think we fully realize how much God wants us to be with him. He wants you to be in heaven. In fact, I remember years ago I was reading a verse and this thought came to my mind that has just stayed with me. God wants me to be with him in heaven probably more than I want to be there. And I really want to be there. But his love for me and care for me is demonstrated and accomplished by the cross of Jesus Christ. Final part about this, it was a short-lived death, kind of a play on words there. I understand it. It was short-lived. Notice what the last part of this verse says in 1 Peter 3:18. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in the Spirit. Wow. He suffered, he died for you and me so that we could live. He lives so that we can live. And he was willing to suffer that death so that he could bring us home safely to God. Now, again, another great verse here in Romans 8:11. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Yay, God. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living in you. Jesus Christ died, and he died for my sins. And that sacrifice was sufficient because he was innocent of sin. And because he was innocent, he came back to life, and he lives forever now. One day, I'm going to die. But I'm coming back to life. Why? Because I'm innocent. Not because of me being a perfect person. We all know that's not happening, don't we? Come on, don't be too good here. But because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Because he lives, I live. Because the same Spirit that raised him from the dead will raise me from the dead as well. Because when I accepted Christ as my Savior, that Spirit came to live in me. And that Spirit that lives in me gives me life. Ephesians 2:18. Now, all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. Because of Christ and who he is. And so you and I have this great privilege of knowing that we have life forever. And that's what the death of Christ is about. That's why he died. He died so that we could live. He died so that we could have a relationship with God. He died so that we could spend eternity in heaven. And his death on the cross was sufficient to accomplish the purpose for which it was intended. And thus the writer in 1 Peter chapter 3 says, Christ suffered for our sins once for all times. He never sinned. But he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in the Spirit. And this morning, we're going to take communion. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper because we celebrate what Jesus Christ did for us. We celebrate that life that he has for us. That's why we say that you don't have to be a member of the church to take communion. It's not about church membership. You don't even have to be a regular attender here all the time. There's only one qualification, and that is this, that you have accepted the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, and that you have invited him into your life, and now you live for him and not for yourself. And if you have done that, then you have something to celebrate and you have something to remember. That God is faithful, that God paid a price, that God's work that he accomplished through Jesus is sufficient, and that one day we will be with him forever. And maybe this morning you're at that place right now and you haven't done that, but you want to, you need to. You can do that right now at this moment and then take communion with us. Because communion isn't about being perfect. Over the years, I've had to talk with people because they'll think, well, I can't take communion. I've done this and I've done this and I've done this. Well, okay, I understand that. But do you understand Jesus Christ has done this for you? We're not celebrating your badness. We're celebrating God's goodness. We're celebrating God's forgiveness. We're celebrating the work that was done on the cross and through the death of Jesus Christ. And that's what we celebrate today. So would you just take a moment? And if you're here today and you say, I need to take this step, I need to accept Christ into my life, would you take this opportunity right now to do that? Father, today we're about to celebrate what you've done for us. A time to remember everything you provided for us. And Lord, if those are here today that they need to accept you, would they right now just be willing to confess their sin? That's simply saying, I've sinned, God. I've done things that are against you and your rules. And I believe that through the death of Christ on the cross, my sins were paid for. And that I can be forgiven. And that I can live for God forever. And so, Lord, would you come and live in us through your Spirit? And that Spirit that is now in us will one day bring us to life as well. Thank you for hearing us. Thank you for accepting us. Thank you for loving me, even in my sin. Thank you for forgiving me for everything. I now live for you. Thy name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Sunday morning at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next week for Sunday Morning. Faith Assembly Sunday Morning is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.